Hey, we're glad you're here. Thanks for joining us tonight. This is our first Good Friday service in this space in the Waterbury, and as you can tell, we're still trying to get the kinks out of everything here. I don't know, this is maybe our fourth Sunday, but it's great to be here this evening. Let me pray for us, and we'll continue with some time in the scriptures and then a time of communion and reflecting back in musical worship, if you'll join me. Let's bow together. Lord, thank you for this time to reflect, to worship in a special way as we look to the cross, as we remember, Jesus, what you have done on our behalf, in our place, Lord, on this Friday, reflecting in a special way on that sacrifice that you made, victory over sin, atonement, covering our sins through faith in you. Lord, help us to hear that old story in a fresh way that is that you speak through your Spirit to our hearts tonight, and encourage us in the message of the gospel that is at the center of the cross. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, as I said, welcome. I don't even know if I introduced myself. That kind of threw me off. My name is Andy O'Rourke. I'm the pastor here at Antioch. First of all, it's a little strange, isn't it, that we call this day, at least in the church calendar, Good Friday. It has to do with the history of the word good, and it meant way back when good or holy. But when you think about Good Friday, I mean, really, it's not a great day. I mean, it's a bad day. It's the day that we, humanity, killed the Son of God, right? But it's a bad day that's filled with really, really good news. 2,000 years ago, on a hill outside Jerusalem, next to the cross where Jesus hung on this Friday, an unnamed criminal, a thief, the Bible tells us, got the best news of his life. Really, really good news. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes tonight. In Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, Jesus gives hope to a thief who expresses genuine faith in him. Let me read this passage for us, and then I want to spend a few minutes talking about it together. The scriptures will be on the screen. Luke 23, verse 32. It says, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him, with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's reflect together for a few minutes on this criminal, the one who places his trust in Jesus. One rejected, but one ends up placing his faith in Jesus. First, notice this criminal, he's in a dilemma. At the beginning of the crucifixion, he insults Jesus along with the second thief, one on either side. We know that because Matthew, in his account, Matthew 27:44, he tells us that the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him, both of them. This thief, who eventually puts his faith in Jesus, he's out of options. I mean, the time for a plea bargain, the time for any deals, it's over, and he's at the doorstep of death, this thief. So he's in a big, big dilemma. But second, notice, this criminal, he has an incredible faith. Luke tells us about it. Well, what pieces did the thief put together, you have to wonder, to come to this confession of faith in Jesus on the cross in those few hours? He heard Jesus' prayer at the beginning of the crucifixion when Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," speaking about those that are nailing him and mocking him and jeering at him. This thief heard the rulers also scoff at Jesus, saying that to Jesus, "You saved others, can't you save yourself? If you're the Christ, the Messiah of God," you have to wonder, was the thief thinking, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Christ of God that I'm hanging next to? Well, the thief also saw that the charge sheet posted above Jesus on the cross that said, "This is the King of the Jews." And maybe the thief was thinking, if he's a king, then surely it's a king of another kingdom, not a kingdom like this world. Well, whatever was going on in his head and in his heart, we do know that the Holy Spirit, in those moments that the thief hung there next to Jesus, he convicts this criminal of sin, and he convinces him who Jesus is. And look at his request to Jesus in verse 42. Beautiful. He says, "Remember me. Remember me." Flows out of his acknowledgement and his awareness of his own sin before King Jesus. Third, notice this criminal, he has a wonderful future. Look at Jesus' words again to the thief. Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus responds to the repentant faith, the turning from sin and turning to belief in Jesus. He responds to that with this great promise. Promise of paradise, meaning heaven, referring to heaven. And Jesus assures this criminal with a pronouncement of hope like he had never heard before. "Today, this very day, you're going to be with me." Imagine that. The thief is Jesus' last companion on earth, and this criminal is going to be the first person that Jesus will welcome into the gates of heaven. That day, he's going to be in the presence of Jesus. Let me suggest for us a couple applications as we think about this account, this story that Luke gives us in his gospel. First, Jesus' cross, it shows us we're more like the thief than we might think. Here's what I mean. Like the thief on the cross, we are thieves. Each and every one of us. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we fall short of the glory of God. All of us, every single one of us, because of our sin. And it also tells us that we go through this dark exchange. That's what sin is. It's exchanging the rightful worship of God for the worship of other things. Athletics, people, money, you could list a million things. We rob God of his rightful worship that he's due as our creator. So in that sense, we're thieves. Well, like the thief on the cross, we can't save ourselves. There's nothing he could do. He was nailed there, hung there. Like the thief on the cross, we are justly condemned. The condemnation because of our sin and our separation from God, it's completely just before a holy God. Our sin and our rebellion against our Creator. And like the thief on the cross, we're faced with a decision to either reject or believe in Jesus as our King. And you see one thief next to Jesus, one criminal rejects, and one criminal accepts and believes in Jesus. The same choice that we have. The good news of the gospel, though, it's for all people. There's no one that's so good that they can save themselves apart from the cross, that they don't need the cross. But on the flip side, there's no one so bad that the cross is not able to save them. The cross is for those who think they are good and for those that think they are too bad. It's for every single one of us. And like the thief on the cross, Jesus died not for just the little sins that we feel comfortable sharing in a group or give people a glimpse into. Jesus died for the horrible things in our lives, the ugly sins in our lives, the things that we want to keep hidden and shut away and covered and don't want anybody to know, things that cause us shame, those are the things that Jesus died for. There's nothing that we've done that cannot be washed clean and forgiven by Jesus. Isn't that amazing? There's nothing that's been done to us that the cross cannot wash clean through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking this week, as I was looking at this passage, about what kind of church, what kind of people of God does God desire Antioch community to be? And it's a church of messed up people, just like this thief, that are saved by Jesus, but are being transformed through the power and hope of the cross. So we're more like the thief than we might think. Second application, Jesus' cross, it presents us with the greatest offer that a thief could ever receive. So for the gospel writer Luke, these criminals that he presents, the story that he tells, it's strategic, it has a purpose. Because these criminals on the cross, they embody these two different responses to the gospel. There's two different responses to the central focus of Jesus' mission, the cross that he died on. And we, even today, as readers of Luke's gospel, we're driven to evaluate our own lives as we read this, as we hear it, and our own response to Jesus. So one of the criminals rejects and ridicules King Jesus. The other one responds to Jesus in repentance and faith, turning from his sin and turning to Jesus as his only hope. And Jesus loves to save thieves like the one next to him, and he loves to save thieves like you and me, like each one of us. If you're here today and you haven't experienced that forgiveness through faith in Jesus and that hope and assurance that he gives, it's not too late. Cry out to Jesus. You don't honestly know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what the rest of today will bring. It could be like this thief that you have minutes left on the earth. What's preventing you today from responding in authentic faith to Jesus? Let me close with this illustration. So my wife Sarah and I, we've lived in the Twin Cities here for over 10 years, and a couple of years ago, we finally found a mechanic that we trust. You know what I'm talking about? Cars, vehicles are great. They're very convenient, but they break down at the most inconvenient times, right? And they can really be a pain. And to find someone that you trust, that's affordable, that you feel comfortable going to, it's difficult at times. But we finally found this guy, this place that we take our vehicles to. But let me tell you the worst words that you can hear from the mechanic. Maybe where you take your vehicle, if you have one, is similar. You go and drop it off and either wait there or sometimes leave, and they'll call you after they inspect it and look at it. And you get that phone call, and the worst thing that you can hear is, "Well, Andy, it's worse than we thought." Right? It's worse than we thought. When we hoisted that thing up, when we opened that hood, it's worse than we thought. But you know what the cross says to us? The cross makes it painfully clear that we are far worse than we thought. We are far worse than we thought. How bad is our sin? Well, it's so bad that the Son of God had to be brutally nailed to a piece of wood to deal with it. That's how bad it is. You and I are far worse thieves than we could ever realize. But the beauty of the cross is that it crushes us with that realization. But Jesus is a far greater Savior than we could ever dream. So we're far worse than we thought, or than we may realize, but Jesus is a far greater Savior than we could ever realize, we could ever dream. And that's what's good about Good Friday. That's what's good and beautiful and holy about the cross. The message of the cross is that there's hope for thieves like you, or thieves like me. And Jesus gives hope and assurance to criminals who respond to him in genuine faith. That's a beautiful message. That's the heart of what the gospel is all about. We have an opportunity today to take communion together, to celebrate the Lord's table. You may have heard it called in other traditions. We have a couple stations up front here, and during the second set of songs that we're going to sing, you can have an opportunity to come to either station as individuals, as couples, families, friends, roommates, whatever your situation might be, and I invite you to do that. The bread and the cup is something that Jesus gave us as his church to do until he returns, and it represents simply his broken body on the cross and his shed blood on the cross. And he said, do this in remembrance of me until I come back. So what a great opportunity to celebrate and do that today as we focus on the cross on Good Friday. I invite you, you don't have to be a member of Antioch Community Church to participate in this time, but the Bible says you need to be a member of the church, capital C, part of the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you've never come to a place in your life where you say, Jesus, I want you to take control of my life and I want to surrender to you as my king, I invite you to do that. Why would you wait? And make this time, make this act of celebrating communion your first act as a new follower of Jesus. And please, if that's you, tell me or tell someone else that you've done that today. We'd love to celebrate with you. But let me pray for us. You can come to either station during the music. There's an area for prayer in the back if you would like to be prayed for about anything, or have a quiet area for yourself. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the cross. Lord, a terrible, terrible day in your purposes becomes transformed into a beautiful day of really, really good news. We thank you for the hope and the assurance that you give us through faith in you. We thank you for what you've done on our behalf. We thank you that we, as thieves, can have hope in you. That not only through faith in you we get to experience your presence and relationship with you in this life, but we get to be in your presence for all eternity through faith in you and what you call paradise or heaven. Lord, help us to respond now in worship and continue in worship through the Lord's table and through singing and music. We pray in your name.